Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Now, you're going to see in this little text that we're looking at today some encouraging words from Paul to the church there at Philippi. Okay, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I like what some preachers have done in handling texts like this. They'll always say to you, you know, old Paul was a southerner. And they'll look at, like verse 4 where he says, my prayer, always in every prayer of mine, for you all. And then he says here in verse 8, for God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. So, with all that lightheartedness aside, Paul encourages the church at Philippi and encourages the Philippian saints. And the words of our text should both be an encouragement to us and also an example to us how we can encourage others. You see, when you look at the text, notice what Paul did. He encouraged them, first of all, in verse 3, by thanksgiving. He encouraged them by thanksgiving. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He remembered them, and he remembered them frequently. And when he did, he thanked God for them. You know, there's nothing like having somebody come up to you and tell you after church, or tell you when they see you, I thank God for you, brother, or I thank God for you, sister. As often as I think about you, I am reminded of whatever they've done in your life or whatever they've done in my life. People want to be appreciated. You know how it is in your own life whenever you do something nice for somebody. You don't do it just to elicit their thanksgiving, but you know something? You really enjoy doing for them more when you know they appreciate it. And it is nice to be encouraged by somebody else's thanksgiving, as Paul thanked God for the Philippians. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 for an example. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, watch what he says. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Isn't that amazing? As busy as Paul was and as much as he had to do, he could honestly say to the Ephesians with good conscience, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That's a wonderful thing, and it was very encouraging for the Philippians. As a matter of fact, it should be an encouragement to us to know that someone is thanking God for you, or someone is thanking God for me. I know in my own life that there are people God has put in my life that have been very, very important to me, and they come to mind frequently, and when they do, I do thank God for them. I thank God for their friendship. I thank God for their loyalty. I thank God for their help in the ministry. I thank God for their fellowship. I thank God for their prayers and so many other things. And it's an encouragement to them, and it's an encouragement to me to know that other people do the same thing. And so Paul encourages the Philippians, first of all, by thanking God upon every remembrance of them. The second way that Paul encouraged the Philippians, the encouraging words that he gave them, is found there in verse 4. He encouraged them not only by thanksgiving, but he encouraged them by prayer. By prayer. He said here, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. So Paul was praying joyfully for them. I remember this past Sunday we had a missionary friend of ours who came, and during the time that he was speaking to the congregation, he said, one of the great things that you can do for missionaries, and he wasn't being a beggar, he was trying to be a help to our congregation. He said, one of the things that you can do for us, of course, is your financial help, because that's what God uses to sustain us on the field and to give us the money we need for Bibles and tracts and everything else. But he said, the other thing is, we need desperately your prayers, because he said, by your prayers, we are empowered to do the work that God has given us to do. And we can sense that power of the Lord God that comes in response to your prayers. Well, what an encouraging thing to know there is somebody praying for you. What an encouraging thing. I know from time to time I'll get an email, or I'll get a letter, or I'll get a phone call, and somebody will say to me in that correspondence or in that phone call, my wife and I pray for you. One fellow wrote and said, my wife and I pray for you every time we sit down at a meal or when we pray in our devotions before the Lord. You don't know what that means unless you've ever had somebody tell you that before. That is a tremendous thing, because you know that somebody is begging God for your protection, for your boldness, for your provisions, for your ability to minister, for your health, for so many things. Tomorrow, we're going to study on further in Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to actually see some very specific things that Paul prayed for the Philippians. So he let them know that not only was he praying for them with joy, but he let them know exactly what he was praying about, which we'll see. Look in Colossians chapter 1 at verse 3, and notice that it was not rare for Paul to lift up other congregations before the Lord. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Can you imagine such a thing? We have a missionary board. Actually, we have two missionary boards in our church. We have one missionary board that is that has the letters from our missionaries that we support regularly on a monthly basis. And the other board that we have is a missionary board that is put up there for missionaries that we support on an irregular basis. That is, from time to time we'll have some extra money and we'll send these folks something to help them along the way. And, you know, as often as we get the opportunity, we pass through the sanctuary there and look at those names and look at those letters and lift those missionaries up before the Lord. You know something? It is an amazing thing that there is a tremendous amount of joy in that exercise. First of all, because they're in your heart all the time. But secondly, there's great joy in the answers, in hearing the answers to the prayers that have been prayed for them. Also, getting to walk through the sanctuary, we'll see the place where people typically sit in the congregation and have an opportunity to pray regularly for the people in the church, for their children, and many specific prayer requests and needs that have been lifted up before the congregation. It's a tremendous thing to hear how God answers those prayers. You talk about joy. Now, yesterday we looked in Philippians chapter 1 and 2 about the office of bishops and deacons, and we noticed that pastors, among other things, are given the responsibility to pray and minister the word, according to Acts chapter 6, verse 4. And, you know, truthfully, a lot of ministers are involved now in developing programs. They're involved in staff meetings. A lot of pastors are involved in the administrative responsibilities of their church to the extent that they have very little time left to pray for sick people, lost people, and the saints and missionaries in and out of the church. As a result, there's a lack of joy. There's a lack of joy because of the lack of prayer. Now, Paul, we see, prayed for the Philippians. He prayed for the Colossians. Notice when he wrote to the Corinthians that he indicated he had the care of many churches. And he had this in addition to all of the suffering, all of the reproach, all of the affliction that he bore. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, at verse 28, after listing many of the bad things that had happened to him as a result of preaching the gospel, Paul said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul cared for those churches by prayer. And that was something that came upon him daily. So he encouraged those Philippians by telling them, I pray for you, and I pray for you with joy all the time. All the time. Don't you know that was a tremendous encouragement? It's an encouragement to us when people do that. And, of course, what Paul says is a great encouragement to us to do that for others. So already we've seen that we need to be thankful to God for those people that He's put in our lives, and we need to lift those people up by prayer daily. All right, the third thing that Paul said to them that was an encouragement to them is found in verse 5. He encouraged them by thanksgiving. He encouraged them by prayer. He encouraged them by fellowship. He says, prayer and thanksgiving for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, the Philippians, from the time that they got saved, started with Paul and continued on over all that time, even until the time of writing this letter. And, you know, Paul wrote them back and encouraged them by keeping them informed of the work that God had given them to do so that they could pray for him and help him. Also, he kept them involved. He kept them involved by allowing them that fellowship with him in the gospel, you see. Now, notice the Philippians were very much involved in Paul's ministry. Look at the end of Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Paul said, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Skip down to verse 14. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that's what he's talking about back there in Philippians chapter 1, in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but fruit, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now, don't you know that was encouraging for Paul to note their gifts, their communication to him, where they actually physically gave him physical supplies for his physical necessities and money along the way to help him in the ministry. That was a tremendous encouragement to Paul. Paul encouraged them in that by pointing that out, by indicating that they were fellowshipping with him in the gospel from the first day until now. That's a great encouragement. So that is something that is instructive to us then. Don't hesitate to keep people informed and involved of the things that you're doing so that they can help you along the way. You don't do it to be a beggar, like Paul said. I have everything. I never desired this for myself, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. Always be sure not to be selfish about that. But secondly, the neat thing about that was that he was thankful. And it is encouraging to people when they do something for you to write them a letter or pick up the phone and thank them so that they are encouraged to continue to do the same thing not only for you but for others that are in the ministry. All right? The fourth way, that Paul encouraged the Philippians is by confidence. He did it by thanksgiving, he did it by prayer, he did it by fellowship, he did it by confidence. Look in verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Well, there's two things about verse 6 that are very important. The first thing is eternal security. That is, that once God began the work of salvation in our lives, he would perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. People sometimes get the wrong idea about salvation and come up with the idea that there's something that they must do in order to maintain their salvation, or something that they must not do to keep from losing their salvation. And there's a lot of confusion in that, because people don't understand that when God saved you, that was not because of something you did, that was because of what Jesus Christ did for you and what Jesus Christ did for me. We are simply accepting the free gift. Once you have accepted the free gift of salvation, there is no work that you did to receive that salvation, and Paul makes that abundantly clear. We looked at it diligently in Ephesians chapter 2, where he said, for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you're not working to keep yourself saved, and Paul therefore had confidence in the Philippians, because he knew that now they had trusted Christ as their Savior, God himself would perform the work of salvation until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, they would never lose that God had given them. Now, there are many verses in the Bible that show you this particular doctrine of eternal security, and we're not going to deal with those because I've preached on that many times before. However, I would have you look at Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35, and look at this now. Romans chapter 8 at verse 35, listen carefully. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Paul had confidence that tribulation would not separate them. Paul had confidence that tribulation would not stop the work that God was performing until the day of Jesus Christ. Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are, not will be, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1, he said, I am confident. Here he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul had a great deal of confidence in God's ability with that congregation to, once they were saved, to keep them saved until the time of Jesus Christ. That is a great encouragement. People need to know that because there's a great deal of frustration in doubting your salvation. There's a great deal of frustration in thinking that you get to a place where you're so backslidden that you've lost the very gift of eternal life. And Paul, he built up their confidence to understand that once God begins that work, he will complete that work. But also, Paul had confidence in something else concerning their work. Paul had confidence that God had a job for them to do, and Paul encouraged them that he believed God would get that job done. You know something? That's a great deal of encouragement, and people need to hear that. Listen, I was reading my Bible today, and David had committed that wicked sin with Bathsheba, and Nathan came in and accused him, showed him that he was the man that was responsible for that sin, and that bad things would come his way, the sword would never depart from his house, and many other things, but he said, God hath put that sin away. And eventually Bathsheba conceived, and they had a baby, and his name was Solomon, and became the richest and wisest man in the world. God did something in David's life in spite of his sin. And Paul's just basically encouraging the congregation here. God has a work for you to do, and that good work in you, God will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, there has to be a willingness on your part, of course. There has to be the faithfulness on your part, of course. Not for the salvation, but to get that work done. And you know something? When you get down, when you get tired, when you get discouraged, to have somebody like Paul come along and say, hey, I've got a lot of confidence that God is going to be able to work this out in your life. Let me tell you something. That causes you to hold your head up. That causes you to take confidence in God and not to give up at a very time. Listen, don't you know that poor old Peter was very discouraged after he denied the Lord Jesus Christ following his judgment and before his crucifixion? And while he's hanging on the cross, poor old Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't you know that really, really caused him a great deal of hurt, a great deal of tears. And so Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, found Peter and he said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. And God restored him into his discipleship and restored him and used him in Acts chapter 2 to lead 3,000 souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Used him in Acts chapter 10 to bring Cornelius and the Gentiles into the kingdom of God. Great confidence that God had in Peter, that in spite of his zealousness that led him to sin, Peter would be used of God. God encouraged the Philippians, and I encourage you today. You may have messed up along the way. I have confidence in you that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, notice also that Paul encouraged the Philippians not only by thanksgiving, not only by prayer, not only by fellowship, not only by confidence, but in verse 7, Paul encouraged the Philippians by participation. This is a great thing here. He says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Now, that's a great place for a pastor or a great place for a preacher to have his congregation or the people that he loves. in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, Paul was locked up for his faith, and he still defended the gospel, and he still confirmed the gospel and led people to the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his bonds. Onesimus was one, and several in the Caesar's household, and others that he led to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, he wrote these great prison epistles while he was locked up. And you know what? That Philippian church did not give up on Paul while he was locked up. As a matter of fact, they fulfilled the command of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3 says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. In other words, that Philippian church never gave up on Paul, no matter how bad the information about him had come out and how much reproach he had suffered at the hands of other Christians. They stuck with him. They participated in his bonds. They participated in his defense and confirmation of the gospel. And therefore, they are participants of his grace, or in his grace. That is, they are going to benefit in the grace of God and in his ministry, and reward because he had them in his heart and worked with them in his heart, and they were as bound with him. Now, because of that, bound themselves with him, worked with him, participated with him in the ministry. Notice what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 24, that sheds some light on what Paul expected would happen for the Philippians in God's judgment. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David has just been instructed of the Lord to go and recover everything that has been taken out of Ziklag, where his wives and where all of his possessions and the possessions and wives of and children of all of his men were, to go in, and they would get all the stuff back, and they did. Now, David normally traveled with a band of 600 men, but only 400 of them went to the battle and recovered all of the spoil and all of their family. 200 of them were faint and had stayed by the stuff. And so the people, after the battle, some of the people said, you know what, we ought to keep all this spoil for ourselves and not let these men have any of the spoil. They didn't fight like we did. And David established an ordinance at that time that survived throughout, evidently, a long period of time. And that ordinance that he establishes in 1 Samuel chapter 30 in verse 24, in which he said this, "For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike." In other words, Paul was telling the Philippians, hey, I'm bound up for my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're standing with me. You're in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. You're going to get part of this reward. You are going to be partakers of my grace. What a great encouragement for them to stay by him, stay by the stuff while he's out there in the midst of the battle. And so I would say the same thing to you. Stay by those that are in the ministry. Stay by them and guard the stuff, even if God never gives you the great things to do that you see done in their lives. They're simply ministers and servants of the Lord God anyway, as you are. And if you are standing with them and by them, you get to be partakers of their grace. And that's encouraging. You see, in the body of Christ, not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody is a preacher. Not everybody is a missionary. Not everybody is a teacher. And consequently, those who are and are supported by those who are not, they all get to part alike in the reward after many souls are saved and many are grown up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul encouraged the Philippians in that. I encourage you that in as well. Then also, look in verse 8, Paul encouraged the Philippians by desire. All right, he did by thanksgiving, by prayer, by fellowship, by confidence, by participation. He also encouraged the Philippians by desire. That is, he said, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." He loved them so much, he wanted to be with them. It's like Romans chapter 15 in verse 23. Romans chapter 15, verse 23, he says to the Romans, he says, "But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." So, tremendous desire that Paul had to be with the saints. You know something? I'm going to tell you, the highlight of my week, actually I have two, is Sunday morning and Wednesday night. Those are the highlights of my week. And the reason is I have the opportunity during those times to be with the folks in our church, and I absolutely long to be with them. I enjoy their fellowship. I enjoy preaching and teaching the Word of God to them. I enjoy ministering with them. I enjoy their responsiveness. I enjoy their willingness to help with missionaries, their desire to lead souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, their desire to pray for each other, their desire to be together and enjoy good fellowship. I enjoy that. I enjoy that immensely. That is a great desire. Another desire that I have is to be with my friends who are in the ministry around the United States and also on foreign fields. And when we have missionaries that come home on furlough and get to spend a little time with me and with my family, I have a great desire for that. I love to be in their fellowship. They are in my heart. And Paul was saying here that the Philippians were in his heart. They were in the bowels of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a tremendous desire to be together. And that's encouraging to know that he wanted to be with them. It's an encouragement for me to know that there are people that want to be with me. And it's an encouragement to those that I love to know that I'd love to be with them. And so it is an encouragement when the people you love know that you want to be with them as well. So listen, from these words that we've heard in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 today, let's thank God for our fellow Christians. Let's be encouraged, as Paul was, to thank God for those Christians that God has put in our path. Pray for them with joy always. Make a list of their names if you can't remember all. And fellowship with them. Inform them and include them in your ministry and the things that God has given you to do. Let them know the great things that God is doing in your life so they be encouraged to participate with you. Build their confidence that God will perform His work in their lives, and particularly when they have something that messed them up a little bit. And let them participate in the work and in the grace that God has given you. Don't be selfish with all of that, but allow them to be a partaker with you in the work that God has given you so they can be a partaker with you in the grace and benefit. And then desire to be with them sincerely. And if you don't, ask the Lord to put that desire in your heart so that they may know that you long to be with them. Now, God's not going to let us be able to enjoy that all the time, every day, because we all have work to do. And so the Lord makes sure that we're all separated to do the work that He has for us to do in the various places where He has us to serve. But you can certainly encourage them by letting them know that your intention is that if God would allow, you'd spend some time with them.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.